You're welcome to House of God on this beautiful Sunday, 10th of March. Hallelujah. How many people are excited to be in the house of God today? You are in the house of God. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. God bless you, choir. Somebody say, God bless you, choir. That was awesome. Awesome, awesome. We come to the presence of God this morning to bow down and to praise Him. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be lifted. I'm so glad I'm in church this morning. I'm so glad that I have Jesus. I'm so glad that I know Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we pray that the entrance of your word this morning will give us life, will give us life. It will bring a transformation to our lives. Lord Almighty, you have called us to three things. Build healthy relationships, uncover the scriptures, and to live a lifestyle of worship. Today we are digging into your word. We pray, O God, for insight. We pray for revelation. And we pray for the power to live a transformed life. A life that is pleasing to you. A life that brings glory to your name. We receive that power, Lord, today in the name of Jesus. That we will not be victims of the falsehood of the devil, but that your people will walk in truth and will be guided by the truth, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I'm going to read it in the King James Version and also in the Amplified Version for a bit more clarity. So the King James says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I read it in the Amplified, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Again, the same text, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Everything is permissible. In other words, allowable and lawful for me. But not all things are helpful or good for me to do, or expedient or profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under his power. So today we're looking at the topic, what to do when the scriptures are silent. You know, there is nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke. For instance, do you understand? Or thou shalt not eat that gato cake. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says so. So when the Bible is silent on some things, how do we decide? Has anybody thought of that? How do I make the right decision? Because I may say it's good, it's okay. But I may say it's not okay. And but I think they say, maybe it's in somewhere, you know. How do we all come to an agreement on this subject matter that is not in the Bible? What do we do to bring a solution to this subject matter that is not in the Bible? What do we do when the Bible hasn't said something specific? You know, when we look at Exodus 20, verse 3 to 17, you know, I'll read it. It talks about, I won't read the text, but I'll tell you what it says. It gives us a list of the Ten Commandments. One of it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Another one says, you shall not make yourself any idol, nor bow down to it or worship it. Another one says, you will not abuse the name of the Lord your God. You will not misuse his name. Another one says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The Sabbath day to keep it holy. Another one says, honor your father and your mother. Another one says, you must not commit murder. Another one says, you must not commit adultery. Another one says, you must not steal. Another one says, you must not give false witness or evidence against your neighbor. And then the last one says, you will not be envious of your neighbor's good. You will not be envious of his house or wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So we have 10 commandments. The question is, what do we do when the things that we're looking at is not listed within these things? You are not sure whether it is right or whether it is wrong. Now, these are the following questions we're going to ask ourselves. There are 6 in total. The first question We can see it in the text that we read. He says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. So the first question we are going to ask ourselves, if you are writing in your notes, you can write this down. Is it expedient? What does the word expedient mean? Will it make me more efficient? This thing that I'm about to do. So say for instance, I think TV watching is going to be my example today. TV watching. Is it a sin to watch TV? Hands up. Let me see. Is it a sin? So it is neither a sin nor not a sin. Nor a sin. Do you understand? So TV watching. So this, I decide today, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to spend the next 10 hours watching TV. Am I sinning? Is there anywhere in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not watch TV for 10 hours? Do you understand? It's not written in the Bible. But I have to ask myself a question. Is it expedient? Will it make me more efficient in all I'm doing? You know? Will it make me more productive in all I'm doing? If I spend 10 hours before the box every day, I say, you know this thing, but I spend 10 hours before the TV. Will it be appropriate? Will it be suitable? Will it be the right thing to do? Would I be able to say, I have spent 10 hours wisely? That is the first question we ask ourselves. It's not in the Bible. Thou shalt not watch TV for 10 hours. Some people believe the TV is the devil's box. Some people believe it is fine. But the question is, if I spend this number of hours before the box, is it going to be profitable to me? Is it going to be an effective use of my time? I've seen people who are so glued to the TV, they burn their food, they burn everything, they miss their appointment, they cancel appointments. You know, have you not seen obsessive TV watching? They miss appointments, they say, okay, well, particularly those stupid episodes where they have series. Okay, I'm just going to spend 5 more minutes. This one is just, okay, 20 more minutes for this episode. 20 more minutes. And then you are wearing your thing. You're wearing your bag. You're holding it. And then you're watching it. And then you miss the appointment. Or you burn something in the kitchen. So the question is it expedient? Will it profit me? This thing that I'm about to do, I've used TV watching as an example. It could be anything. Will it profit me? Am I going to gain anything from it? That is the first question. Will it add to my godliness? Will it make me a more godly Christian when I do this thing? That the Bible has not said yes or no. You know, people say, they say it's a gray area. You know, this gray area in question mark, if I do it, will it lead me on the path to maturity? Is it going to help towards my goal to becoming a mature Christian? So if I spend 10 hours before the TV on a daily basis, am I going to get it to become a better Christian by doing that? Will it make me more godly? Is it an efficient use of my time? Is it expedient? Is it appropriate? Is it considerate? Would it be the right thing to do? You are the one that can answer that question. So before you do it next time and say, is that a thing now? Ask yourself, is this the best use of my time? Is it appropriate? That is the first question. Question number 2. Will it build me up? Is it going to build me up? Am I going to become stronger? More stable in my spiritual life? Is it going to strengthen me? This thing that I want to do. You know, let's read another text. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. It's similar to what we read in 1 Corinthians 6, 12. But there's a little spin on this one. Will it build me up? How many people have heard the word edify? Edification. So the first one was, is it expedient? And this next one is, will it build me up? Will it edify me? Is it going to make me become more like Jesus? So we'll go back to TV watching. If I spend 10 hours in front of the TV, and the TV is, you know the TV is anything now. The TV can be your phone or your iPad. So don't think of your TV box. But many people don't watch the TV box now. They watch YouTube, they watch Netflix, and all those things you can watch on your phone, on your iPad. So if I stay in front of this screen that has given me all these things. Even if I stay in front of that screen and all I do is watch news for 10 hours, is it going to make me more like Jesus? Because some people, they're not watching African Magic or African movie or anything. They're not watching Netflix or any soap opera. They're just watching the news and they say they're just cycling over and over. And ask yourself, I've spent 10 hours listening to this thing. Is it going to make me more like Jesus? That is the first question you ask yourself. Is it going to build me up? Is it going to make me more spiritually mature? More spiritually stable? Is it going to strengthen me? 1 Corinthians 10:23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And then the second part, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There's no law against, nobody's going to send you to prison for watching TV for 10 hours. Will anybody do that? No. But you ask yourself a question, is it edifying me? Am I growing as a result of it? 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let's open it very quickly. 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. He says at the end of it, let all things be done unto edifying. Whatever we do, it must edify us. If you spend 1 hour on something, you must gain something from it. Eh? Sister Hawa, you say you start a business. But number one, it did not bring you any income. But number two, it didn't bring you any income. And you are using capital. And you are having overhead. And you are paying your staff. What will happen eventually? You will close it down. It's not building you. It's not adding to you, adding value to you. Why are you doing it? So all those gray areas, ask yourself the question, is it edifying me? Is it strengthening me? Is it building me up? 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. I put my body under. Don't be a slave to your bodily desires. Look at your neighbor and help me preach to them. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Don't be a slave.
Don't be a slave.
To your bodily desires.
To your body.
Don't let your body take the control of your life.
Don't let it.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Train yourself in discipline. Be a disciplined person. For instance, this is an example. You have a list of tasks to do. Some are difficult and some are easy. Now, how many people will choose the easy ones first?
Me.
Just wave your hand at me. Okay. How many of us will choose the difficult ones first? Which one do you think we should choose? When you have a list of tasks, and one is difficult, and one is easy, which one do you really think we should do first? Huh? We should do the easy one first. Do you know what you're meant to do?
The hard one first.
The hard one first. Because the hard one is what you need motivation for. They're giving you an assignment. Let's say you're doing an assignment. The hard one is the one that will take more of your time. You know the easy, you know plenty of us, when we do the examination, we do the easy one first. We try through it. You try through it. But the hard one, sometimes, the hard one back. They will give you, I don't know what it's like now.
You end up not getting the hard one.
But put it this way, you know what we do? We end up spending all our time on the easy one, and then we are relaxed.
And then at the end, you now see one question. 50 marks. Ah, I want to go to my church. Like, I want to go to your mouth. And you get, you get on the side. And then you have 5 minutes left for a question that has 50 marks. Why not spend a little more time on that question that has 50 marks and try and see whether you can get 35 marks of that? And then you want me to do a little bit on the top one. And the top one, to be honest with you, they're going to fly through it anyway. But if you start with the easy task first, you will discover that you have used all your energy on it. By the time you get to the difficult one, you're tired. Yes. You know? So, if you want to, you know, it's a gray area. Like I said, there's nowhere in the law that says, do the easy one first or do the tough one first. But when you look at it again, you say to yourself, actually, I think it would be more profitable for me to do the difficult one first. So the next time you have an assignment to do, it could be household chores. It could be something in the office that you need to do. Do the difficult one first. I have a colleague. Anytime, we are colleagues, but because it's new, I'm kind of like, you know, showing him what to do. Anytime I give him anything difficult to do, you know what he do? And then he will focus on the easy one. And then he put it in the cupboard, only to bring it the following day. The following day, he will put the easy one first. And I'm like, you are still going to get your phone and do this one. This one is important. And then he will never ask me the question, Dola, is it urgent? And I'm like, it has been urgent 2 days ago. But because it is not his strength area, he keeps putting it away. Brethren, if you want to master yourself, do the difficult ones first. You are cooking. The food that is most difficult, do it first. You apply anyway. Maybe you want to cook, I don't know. Maybe for you, jollof rice is like a mountain. And you don't know how to cook it, you know, do that one first. Or maybe making vegetable stew, or rice and curry, or shepherd's pie. Maybe for you, peeling potatoes is a mountain. I mean, for me, I'm talking exactly the kitchen. For me, peeling a potato, you will not understand how big a mountain it is. I would rather leave it and do something else than peel potatoes. But going back to this message now, peel the potato first. Get them out of the way. Jollof rice is not big. I can close rice and cook it. You know? So do the ones that you can't do, that you find difficult to do. Do them first, so that you have enough enthusiasm to do the easy ones. Praise the name of the Lord. Learn to say no when you have the right to say yes. Learn to say no. So that gâteau, you know, has been staring at you. You know what I'm talking about? The chocolate gâteau. It's been staring at you. It's been saying, Sakayo, you have to have me. Ha! He's been staring at you. But the last time you went away yourself, the scale was not, he was not your friend. I'm looking at that ice cream saying, Lola Ezra, you must come now. Just one scoop. You have to have me now. Let's go say no when you can say yes. I can say yes. I don't have to say no. But if I say no, me and myself, we are still fighting. You know, somebody has come and rescued us, you know, and settled the quarrel between us. Do you understand my point? So there are times when you can say yes, but don't say no. That TV program is, you say, come and watch me. Come and watch me. You know what? Sometimes just switch the TV off. You will discover that you will achieve a lot more than when you are glued to the TV. Or when I say TV, you know what I mean by TV. So it could be iPad, it could be phone, you know, it could be those messages, those WhatsApps that people send us. If you read every WhatsApp message that comes to your phone, if it's like my phone, you will not do anything in the day. One woman say, I know you read my message. I say it's a lie. I just speak on the thing. Because if I read every message that comes to my am I lying? Yeah. If you read everything that comes to your phone, if your phone is like my own phone, I just click on it. I click on it. If you want to know whether I read it or not, just call me and ask me. That's how you will find out. Because I don't like to see it on red. So I will click on it. Which time do I have to read? I have my Bible to read. I'm doing Bible in India. I'm reading that one. I'm doing Open Heavens. I'm reading that one. I have to prepare for message. I have to go to work. Where is the time for me to be reading somebody died in Kutu Wenji or somebody died in Birmingham and they chopped their head? I haven't got time to read a lot. So there are times when you need to say no, even though you can say yes. So that's number two. Number one is it expedient? Number two, is it edifying? Number three, will it slow me down?
Is it going to slow me down? Let's read this text. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Will it slow me down in the race? Hebrews 12 verse 1. So this is the second part of the talk. Will it slow me down? This gray area. Let's read what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Amen.
So if you look at this Bible passage, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So it seems like there's weight and there's sin. There are some things that are not necessarily sin, but they are a weight, you know. And I was listening to someone share on this, and he was trying to describe the difference between weight and sin. So he said, an athlete, for instance, now, as an athlete, you're supposed to train, you're supposed to eat the right kind of food, you're supposed to rest well, you're supposed to exercise well, you know, you can have athletes who don't do any of those things. Of course, it will be a sin against their body because they are not doing what an athlete is meant to do. So he said, you can have an athlete that don't hold that. They rest well, they eat well, they train well, they do everything. But everybody watch this. On the day of training, guess what they did? They put on the combat boots, you know, soldier boots, and then military regalia, and they wear it to go to training. How many people know that you already have a problem?
Of course not.
Because how are you going to go handling this? You wait. So the question is that necessary waste or a waste of time? You are going for training, you're not a soldier man. You are a runner. And then you decide that you're going to wear combat boots. You know those heavy ones that you wear military regalia. And you're going to wear battle armor, you know, to go on your training. Is an unnecessary waste. It will slow you down. It is not necessary for the training that you are doing. You are not in the army, you are a runner. You are an athlete. It will slow you down. Do you understand? Another example. You are a married couple. You decide that I am going to take my wife out for dinner on Sunday night. So you guys go out at 9 p.m. You know, you go for a meal. You enjoy the meal. Beautiful meal. After the meal, you decide that we are going to go to the seaside. We're going to lift up our eyes and watch the moon and just enjoy the moon. Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
How many women do just love to dream of their husband doing that? Go on the hill and then you are watching the moon setting. You are having a romantic time. How many people will love that? People love it. But let me add a little spin out here. It's a Sunday night. You have to be in the office 7 a.m. In the morning. So do a presentation at 7:15.
Hey!
You are still in there, you think that at 2 a.m. watching the moon. Is that going to slow you down or make you faster? Everybody answer.
Yeah.
It will slow you down. Is there anything wrong in you guys going for a romantic dinner? No. But the question now is, the task that you chose to do is all wrong. You have to be in the office. Can you imagine doing the presentation? You know, But the presentation you are doing, you are giving a speech that will determine whether your company is going to get the contract or not. Do you now see my point? So there is no law that says you can't take your darling to a meal late at night, come back home at 3 a.m. in the morning. But let it be maybe when you guys are on the day when you are not going to work the following day. Do you see the gray area now? There's no thing in it. But come on, trying to suggest that if you know that you have to be in the office 7 a.m. in the morning, why are you still out and about up to 3 a.m. in the morning? You cannot be as productive as you are going to be on that Monday morning. In fact, you may end up costing your company the contract because you are ill-prepared, you are not relaxed, you haven't slept well, you are saying yes instead of no, you are saying no instead of yes. Do you see the gray area? How we need wisdom. So, is it necessary? Number 4. Will it bring me into bondage? This gray area. Is it going to free me? Or is it going to bring me into bondage? 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. I think we read it earlier. Mm-hmm. So we go back to it. 1 Corinthians. Let me read exactly where that is. 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, "All things are lawful unto me, but not all things. But all things are not expedient. Mm-hmm. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." In other words, I am not going to allow this thing to put me in bondage. How many of the things we do can we say we are the ones controlling? Let's go back to TV. There's some people, the TV is not controlling them. Until they have their TV fixed, they can't go anywhere. There's some people, it is the coffee that is controlling them. Until they have their coffee fixed, they can't do anything else. Is it a sin to watch TV? No. Is it a sin to drink coffee? No. But when it gets to a point where these things are now controlling you, and you cannot control yourself again, and cannot live without it, it has become a bondage. So the gray area, I mean, I've only used TV and coffee as an example. It could be so many things, you know. So this gray area, that we are not sure what the Bible says about it or not, is it going to free me, or is it going to put me in bondage? That is a question we need to ask ourselves. Many times we focus on demons, principalities and powers, that these are the things that will cause, bring us into bondage. But sometimes, it could just be the little things, not the little foxes, the small things, but it could be something as little as the TV, as it's causing wreckage and havoc. You will be amazed what you will accomplish when you switch the box off. You will be amazed what you will accomplish when you say no to certain things in your body. Or certain places to go to, you will be amazed. You know, so it's a gray area. The Bible hasn't said anything about it, but is it putting you in bondage? Is it freeing you? It's a question for us to ask ourselves. And then number five, will Jesus do it? You know, when you get home, you can read 1 Peter 2:21-25. It talks about how Christ suffered for us and how he became an example. Will Jesus do it? 1 Peter 2:21-25. You know, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16:24 that we should take up our cross and follow him. Are we following him? Will Jesus Christ, this thing that I want to do? So let's go back to TV watching. You know, I've made TV watching my example today. Will Jesus Christ spend 10 hours back to back in front of his TV? If you think the answer is no, let me see your hands up. Everybody watch me. Will Jesus Christ spend 10 hours watching TV?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Will he even spend 5 hours watching TV?
No.
So you ask yourself, okay, I have a day off today. What is the most profitable way I can spend my day? 5 hours watching TV? 10 hours of it watching TV? Or doing anything? The question we ask ourselves is, will Jesus do it? And then the last one, it says, will it glorify God? So this thing that I am under pressure to do, is it going to glorify God? The Bible is silent on it, we don't know, but will it glorify God? 1 Peter 4:10-13, and we're going to pray after this. 1 Peter 4:10-13. So remember all the things I said, is it expedient, is it profitable? Is it edifying? Is it unnecessary waste? Will it bring me in bondage? Will Jesus do it? And number six, will it glorify God? I'm going to ask us to tell me what they are. That's why I repeated it. Will it glorify God? Let's read that text. 1 Peter 4:10-13. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which have come to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Is it going to bring glory to God? He says, whatever we do, whether we minister, whether we sing, whether we serve, let's just make sure we do it to the glory of God. So this gray area, will it bring glory to the name of the Lord? I want us to rise up, you know. So what do we do when the scripture is silent? What is the first one? What is the first one? Is it expedient? Number two. Does it edify? Number three. Number three. Will it slow me down? Number four. Will it glorify God? That's one of it. Yes. Number four. Will Jesus do it? Yes. And then there's one that is missing. We said that one. There's one missing. We focus on principalities and powers. Will it put me in bondage? Will it put me in bondage? So those are the six areas that we need to ask ourselves. So I want us to bow down our heads and say, Father, please, oh God, anything that I'm doing that is not expedient, that is not profitable, please set me free from it. Deliver me from anything I'm doing, anything I'm engaged in that is not expedient. Lord, help me only to embrace the expedient things, the profitable things, the things that will bring me to maturity. Lord, is there anything I'm doing that is not edifying me, that is pulling me down, that is not making me to be like Christ? Father, separate between me and such things, oh Lord. Is there anything I'm doing that is slowing me down? Lord, release me from such weight, from such weight. Help me to lay aside that weight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Is there anything I'm doing that is bringing me into bondage, that is controlling my life? We read in Sunday school earlier that God has given us dominion. There are some things we are doing that have snatched dominion from us. Lord, separate me from such things, oh God. Is there anything that I have become, that I have been brought under the power of that thing? Lord, help me to gain the mastery over it. Brethren, you know the areas. You know the things, those gray areas, you know them. You know, I don't need to list them. Say, Father, I will not be brought under the power of any. We also ask ourselves the question, will Jesus do it? Lord, are there things that I do that Jesus would definitely not do, even though the scripture is silent on them? Father, separate us from such things, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, are there things we also do that are not glorifying to your name? Lord, separate between us and such, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.